you tune into the Bass Cult Podcast. Turn that shit up right about now.
I'm the head of the house. I'm the watchman on the wall. I'm the gatekeeper.
Welcome, welcome to another stunning edition of the Bass Cult Podcast. I'm John Void. To my left here is Ravi.
Yo, yo.
And we have a special guest today. The one and only DJ Six, Mike DeCosmo. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, John? Ravi? How you guys doing?
Doing excellent, man. Doing excellent.
Wicked.
Episode 3, man.
Episode 3.
Yeah. Lucky number. It's gonna be a good one here.
I think best so. Episode ever.
I think we blew our wad before the mics went live, though.
Yeah.
I think we talked a little bit too much.
we talked about everything that we were supposed to talk about.
Okay, so now we're just going to have to repeat it and pretend like we didn't talk about
like
it before.
We just heard it.
Everybody laugh. All right, I'm going to turn this off now, yeah?
Yep. All right.
Switch.
Okay, so here we are. After what?
2 weeks?
Two-week break. Mr. Ravi went to Calgary.
403, man. Beautiful.
Yeah, but you didn't represent. You just went and looked at mountains. No D&D for you.
No, I went
no
there.
No parties.
No parties. Mountains and family. But
that's good. So
you know what? I was kicking myself. I wanted to make it out there. 403 was throwing. They brought in New Logic the Sunday. I was up in Banff at that time, so that was a no-go. And then Friday, they were doing a mixed release party. And I told Logo that, sure, I'll come out. And then my sleep caught up to me, man. By the time I got home, in Calgary, it was 10 o'clock at night, and I couldn't even move.
What's that? 10 o'clock there is what, 1 a.m. here? There's 3 hours.
It was midnight.
Oh, it was only two hours?
2 hours, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, so.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But I was dead. You know, I was just driving for a week straight through the mountains, and waking up, you know, you go to bed at midnight and then you wake up at 6 a.m. crying baby. So I was like, fuck.
So when you cry, you wake yourself up?
Yeah. Yes, that's right. It's a perfect alarm clock.
Yeah, seriously. Although I think you should get that checked if you're, waking yourself up in tears every morning.
Curled up into a little ball.
I don't want to get up.
Yeah. Okay, so Mikey's here.
Yeah. I'm here.
Exciting.
Yeah, I'm the most exciting person you'll ever meet, for sure.
Ground space resident.
Yeah. Lucky enough to be a part of that.
That's cool.
You know, the Ground Space Wicked promotion company here in the city. And they're bringing some serious talent here.
Agreed.
You know, and giving a lot of smaller guys like me a chance, you know, and that's awesome.
Me too.
Yeah, John, yeah, you too, a few other people.
Yeah, man.
I even myself, I try to throw in some names to get D to play them, you know, to get D to bring them in, give them a slot.
Nice. Very good. And also, your music's being played on Bailey's show.
Yes. DJ Bailey's Ministry of Sound show, his new show.
You're getting your shit played by Bailey, but you think you're small time, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, but that's good. Being humble.
No, I agree.
Now, which track was played on the new show?
He played Survivalist.
Survivalist.
Yeah, it's more of a dubby sounding track.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
But that's the second time, right? Because you had the one when he was on.
Yeah, in 2011, in the summer of 2011, I was away for school, and I got a text message saying, hey man, you gotta check out Bailey's show. So I went to check it out, and he played a tune of mine called Passing Things.
Nice.
Which is it was a bootleg of a Cherie Brown track, and the quality was all right, you know, that's my thing, right, is the quality. That's why how you guys
you're
say
your own
it.
Worst
I think
critic,
my stuff
right?
sucks. right? So, yeah. So the quality wasn't the greatest, but the idea was there, you know.
Right.
For a bootleg, it was pretty decent. And then, a few weeks ago, he played Survivalist. So, yeah, his show is on Tuesday afternoons over here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and I'm there every week checking to see if he's going to play something else. Yeah.
You say you're looking through the track listing to see if you should listen or not?
Anyone I send my tunes to, I'm always keeping tabs to see what's going on, if they're into it or not. Because not too many people send you feedback if you're not actually giving them face-to-face contact, right? So Bailey, he gets hundreds of tunes a week. He used to have a stream on Ustream where he would be inside his bedroom and he was playing tracks that people submitted to him. I used to listen to that too, and he played a couple. I caught one of my tunes and then two or three of my other buddies. His name is Jay Style. I think I told you about him.
Yeah.
And he played my buddy Joe Jay Style. He played his stuff quite a few times on that bedroom show. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. That's an awesome idea, man. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah. Yeah, it was wild, man. You see his cat walking around. His mom would come every once in a while, cleaning up. Yeah.
Mom, what are you doing?
Mom, stop it.
And he had a lot of viewers for that stream.
Oh, that's genius, man.
That is absolutely.
And
he would just
go, like, his whole premise was.
But that's big time, you know. You're watching, and next thing you know, he's playing your track.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely wicked.
I'd be on cloud nine.
Yeah, I was. I was, man. Anytime I hear somebody embrace my music, I'm very excited, man, you know?
Absolutely, I agree with you. Yeah. Now, going along those same lines, there was a... I think we mentioned it on the first podcast, you had a showcase on Prophecy. Is that right?
Yes. James, Mr. Brown, he played, I believe, two or three... of my tracks.
Nice.
Which two of them will be coming out on Interface Audio.
Yeah.
Interface Audio? What's that?
Well, it's funny because that was kind of like this whole thing was a lead up to that because I just bought myself a printer. So I...
You're in business!
I'm in business. I'm ready. I'm ready. Gee. I printed up...
You got an Epson or an HP?
I don't even know. Hang on.
It's 4-in-1
HP. 4-in-1, baby. Yeah, yes. 7525.
I hear they're good.
It's $100 off. That's why I bought it.
Good to go.
But we printed up some contracts, and I just signed two of Mike's tracks that are going to be forthcoming on Interface Audio. I'm very excited. The two tracks that Mike gave us are Liquid States and Melvin, both on the Liquid Tip. I love them both. So I think
I like them. I like them as well. They have that same. They both kind of have the same vibe to them with the breaks, but they do differ with the bass and the melodies are kind of on a different scale. So, but Melvin, out of those two, I think Melvin is my favorite.
Yeah. Eh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I know you're feeling Liquid States, but for me, Melvin kind of has more of a meaning to it behind it, right? So,
anything you want to talk about? What's the meaning behind it for you?
Who's Melvin? I haven't even heard the track. Or have I?
You've heard
the
it.
Name,
have I?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. it's just a name, but it just has to do with like prejudices and racism that we encounter every single day of our lives.
I fucking hate racism.
So, yeah, that's...
Thank God Mike said something. I was waiting for the crickets to come up. For a brown guy, he's probably the racist person I know. He comes into the studio and goose steps, does a Sig Heil. Hi, everybody. He's got a little mustache, too, for people who don't know what Robbie looks like. He's got the little Hitler mustache, too.
I hate everyone, though, man.
That's fair enough. Equal opportunity.
Yeah, exactly.
That's okay.
Yeah, treat everyone the same, man.
Yeah, everybody's a piece of shit. I get it. Yeah, so we're very excited, man. So
it's going to be good times. I think you're going to make some waves with this label and the artists you have.
I think so,
are making some really, really good music.
Awesome tunes,
you know,
man.
Brad Scales, Junkie, Damage. Who else do you have on there, John?
I got Sapphire. He's a hard guy to explain. And the only reason I say that is because he doesn't do Facebook. He does Twitter intermittently. He has like Twitter bursts and then fucks off for months. But he's
constantly on SoundCloud.
He's constantly on SoundCloud. That's true. He's a really like neurofunky,
trip hoppy.
Yeah, he's kind of all over the place. He's been on Direct Drive Digital. He released an EP on there about 6 months ago, and now it's just full steam ahead. He's got a few more signings. Anyway, I have no contract for him yet, so we can't talk about him yet.
Okay. He's from Toronto?
He's from Brampton. He lives
in Brampton,
nice. 8 minutes from here, give or take.
Right on.
Yeah, yeah. So, I'm going to play some of his stuff later on. You're going to be blown away. But anyway, Mike, I'm glad to have you.
Yeah,
welcome.
Woohoo! Glad to be here.
Yeah, man, it's going to be awesome. Yeah.
So far, so good. Yeah, man. I was a little anxious, you know, talking on a platform like this, but so far, so good.
Yeah, man, you're doing great.
I'm just shooting the shit, man.
Yeah.
Relax. Do you want a beer?
No, I'm sure? Okay. I'm okay for beers. All right. It's just like the last time I was on the radio, it was the most treacherous thing, man, ever. I was on 105.5. At the time, it was Energy. Not Club Energy, but the station Energy.
Okay.
Had taken over 105.5, and there was DJ Slick was his name. A friend of mine, Alex, had introduced me to him, and he was a house DJ or a breaks DJ, and he was really into drum and bass. He invited me on, and that was my first time ever playing on the radio. And then after, he wanted to do a little interview, which just didn't go really well.
Is that right?
Yeah, I kind of like spaced. Yeah, I was very off. Yeah, exactly. It was an impromptu interview, and I was kind of off guard.
Yeah, that's not cool.
So I didn't, you know, I left out a few names, who to thank, and this and that. It wasn't really clear and concise in what I was talking about.
Well, you're doing fine so far here. So
yeah,
how did you feel on the radio the first time, like playing
on the radio?
Yeah,
it felt good because that was kind of the first time I got really any kind of recognition at all, you know, or even to ask to play anywhere, you know.
Right.
So that was good. I was definitely ready to do it at that point. It was maybe 7 years ago I did that. I played on that show.
Nice.
And so I was DJing for quite a time and also producing for a little bit. I played some of my own tunes on there.
Nice.
And that was when I had first started, and they were just Bush tunes. But whatever.
Doesn't matter, man. Yeah, you got to whore yourself out,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, exactly, man. You gotta market yourself and promote yourself, or else really nothing's gonna happen to you. No one's going to pay attention. Yeah.
That's it.
So yeah, I was glad that happened, and you know, things are starting to pick up since last year with playing some gigs with Ground Space, and now getting some recognition with my own music with you and your label. So that's everything's looking good, and then you know, I'm constantly upgrading my studio and constantly trying to learn new techniques, new skills, and I see myself improving tune after tune. I don't know if anyone else does. You guys could give me maybe a thumbs up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I get no feedback.
I got two thumbs for you, buddy.
We've said
so
that.
So I don't know if people are into my stuff or not.
Your tunes are fucking top, man.
Maybe
awesome.
one comment on Sound. That's how I promote my music.
Yeah.
Right. I put a lot of my stuff on SoundCloud.
You know what you got to remember? It's not what the comments say, you know, on SoundCloud and Facebook. And, you know, people probably listen to it. You just don't know. Yeah. Right, until, you know,
see what I like.
Dollar, until you see dollar signs, you'll know.
But it's hard to see dollar signs.
Trust me. Trust me. They're coming. They're coming.
Yeah. Well, and when it's something that you love to do anyway,
it shouldn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I mean, we don't live in a fairy tale. I mean,
no, we don't. But
you know, I think as a passion and to be recognized for, in like, this isn't work. Right? It's a labor of love, right?
Exactly.
And what would you be doing outside of, you know, if you're not doing music, if you never started music, what would you be doing?
As a hobby?
You know what I mean?
Like, as a hobby, if I didn't do music, I'd probably be an artist painting. That's what I was into before music.
Is that right?
I was into art.
So then what got you into
music? What got me into music and DJing? Just being totally submerged and immersed in the scene.
So, and what were your influences then? Like when you first started, and what DJ or what track?
Oh, DJ Randall.
That just said, "That's it. This is what I got to do."
The first time I ever heard drum and bass jungle was in the summer of 1994. And we were chilling. It was March break. A friend of mine brought over a tape and he starts playing it. And the first song that was played was Original Nata. And from there, it's like, whoa, right. This tune is unreal. So from there, just wanted more, right? And then continued going downtown, grabbing tapes, as much as you could, all the new stuff. And my guy back then was DJ Randall. He was my favorite DJ.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Amazing, amazing DJ. Like, double drops. People don't even know what this guy can do with double drops. Like, yeah. There's no one that can touch this guy. Not even NDC. Because that's who NDC was looking at back in the day.
That's right.
He was looking at DJ Randall, you know? So, yeah, Randall was my guy. Always went to go see him. And that's pretty much... what got me into DJing, you know.
So it was always electronic music that got you?
Yeah, I was, before, like, drum and bass and jungle, I was kind of into house and dance music a little bit. But mostly, like, growing up, I was very influenced by my older sister, who was all about Depeche Mode, New Order.
So the New Cult, Wave type,
yeah,
of,
so it was all, you know, 80s. All
that UK electro 80s stuff. So that's what she was into, you know, and that's what rubbed off on me.
The whole Mod Squad shit. Yeah, man.
Yeah, so that's kind of like where I come from, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And then when, I guess, when I wasn't really getting gigs with DJing and I was buying vinyls every Tuesday, dropping $100, you know, when that was...
And that's a lot of money, you know, back then.
Oh, yeah. Oh. When you're 16, 17 years old, man. You know.
And could you imagine your parents finding out you spent $100
on records? Yeah, that's what I was doing.
Well, it could be ganja.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Know, it could be meth.
They don't look at it like that. They look at it, you spent $100 on records?
I was lucky in that respect.
Oh, see.
Like, they're like, well, you know, by the look of you, mm-hmm. you should be using, like, bags and bags of crystal meth. Oh, it's only vinyl? Cool. You know? So, that's funny, though. You say, like, Randall's your guy, but but that's not... you're, like, the
that's
complete opposite.
Style.
It's a complete opposite.
Yeah.
Like, is it, like, a technicality that you... Like, his
I like
DJing
his DJing skills, yeah. For him, it's the DJing skills, but, you also have to remember... my productions don't necessarily reflect what I'm into, you know. I like producing like more liquid and more musical tracks, but at the same time, I come from jungle, mm-hmm. right? That hard, the hard stuff, and that's what I was brucking out to back in the day, and that's what I'll always love, right? So that's always not on the back burner, but it's always there with me. Like a couple of my newer tunes that I made kind of have a deeper sound to them, more techie and more dark as opposed to a nice melodic liquid.
So do you think you'll put some of that jungle influence to your future
like
tracks?
For myself and my productions, I love making liquid, but at the same time, I feel that I'm very versatile with the music. When I was DJing, I played all across the board, and as a producer, it's kind of hard to do that, but I'd like to do that as well.
Right.
There is certain styles of drum and bass that I'm not going to necessarily feed off, right? But the ones that I can, I'll try to get that influence in my production.
So when you DJ, did you tour? Did you play out much, or it was just within the city?
No. My very first gig was in London, Ontario.
Right.
We threw three parties over 2 or 3 years there.
Outside of the city, man.
Yeah,
that was something.
That was my first exposure to a crowd.
And how was that?
It was intense, man. You know, I was, at that point in time, I wasn't sure if I was ready.
Like, you're all nervous, shaky? Mom's spaghetti?
No, nothing that extreme. But, I wasn't sure I was ready, and the people I was in company with weren't sure I was ready, so that kind of, hindered me from...
your full potential. Yeah,
not necessarily, but, it just made me a little more apprehensive to playing.
Right.
So how'd it work out, though?
It worked out well. Yeah, it worked out good. Everyone had a good time, from what I remember.
What was, the biggest crowd you...
Wow, that's a good question. It was probably one of the parties in London. I guess it was a split room party, House in Jungle. And I'd say there was maybe 200, 300, 400, something like that.
Holy shit.
That's a good set.
It was a good
That's a good jam.
It was a good turnout, yeah. Yeah, it was nice.
I miss those jams. You know, the two rooms.
Yeah, I was thinking of that exact same thing the other day. I was telling a friend, man. You know, I was just reminiscing. I'm like, remember how it was walking room to room? You know,
or like the really big ones. You have like four rooms or five rooms. You remember those 5-room parties? Huge.
Yeah. I wonder if Labor of Love this Labor of Love that's coming up is going to be a dual room. I know they're having Skybar and Government, but I wonder if, because they've usually done it like that, they open up all three.
Those
complexes.
Are those massive ones, where you can't even, there's half these rooms you have nowhere to move.
But those are the jams you remember, man.
Yeah,
you
know,
I don't remember being a jam that, you know, actually, yeah.
Are you joking?
Better Living Center, man.
Freaking.
Yes.
Come on.
I've never been to a single freaking jam. Not one.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
That's okay.
I feel like...
it was a wicked experience walking outside at 7 in the morning. Outside of the CNE.
Dude, absolutely. Absolutely. Those are things that, like we said before, some of my happiest memories are music memories, right? And
yeah.
Those are one of them,
When you show up to a jam for the first time, right?
Oh my God, what the fuck is this? You know? It's awesome. Yeah. It's awesome. Hopefully... See, and that brings me to another point, actually, is... that law that they've quietly passed, the Harper government.
Did they pass it, or they're passing?
Apparently they passed it in July. I could have read that wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was passed in July.
Fucker. Harper, man.
He's sneaky.
I was going to call him Parker for some reason.
But for those of you who don't know, it's any foreign talent that comes into Canada, they have to pay a fee to play. The people who are bringing them have to pay a fee, and it used to be $125 flat for a band or a DJ or a performer of some sort. Now it's $450 per person in the band. So they're saying that it's going to really, really hurt indie music, smaller bands. I can see the ramifications in our thing with DJs and this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah, especially for the promoter, right?
Is this just touring musicians, or touring musicians and their roadies? And there's
any performers. Yeah, it's $450 per performer. If it was the roadies, holy fuck,
but
imagine.
You know what? I can see a plus side to that.
Okay.
Is that, I guess, local talent will have more of an opportunity to play out.
See, and that's...
I can see that happening. I don't know if it's a... You know, it is a good thing. I think it is a good thing.
Now, here's what I think. I agree that it's a good thing.
Sorry, and it puts value to the performance when the promoter brings in a headline DJ from outside the country. So when they come in, how many promoters are going to want to dish out all this money to bring in another headliner, instead of bringing them every month, maybe every 3 months or 6 months or whatever.
Right. It's almost value added because it's not going to be an every weekend thing. But that'll take some adjustment because to me, I think Toronto kids, myself included, are very, very jaded. I mean, if you remember back in the day, we're talking about freaking parties when there's 17, 18 headliners in over 3 rooms.
Yeah.
Those days are long gone. Now we get the one headliner, 3 locals, and the last local probably doesn't get to play because the lights go on. Now, what I think should happen, what would be nice to happen, is DJs become local and then Canadian-wide talent. So we end up trading guys with Calgary.
Right.
You know, the headliners come from other provinces. You know, the Shaw DJs from Vancouver, Bullet Bill and... Clicks Carsley and those guys come here and they get top billing and we go there or some such thing. That's pretty...
That's a possibility.
That's the positive, right?
That is a positive. That's a complete.
I think we'll see less shows. Definitely.
I do too.
Right?
If you see less shows, but then that adds the excitement to when the show does happen. Right? See, makes you want to go out instead of just saying, oh, you know, I just went out last week.
Right now, how many people go out for shows that are just locals? I think the people that are living in the community that the party's going on at, like, not too many people from out of town are coming in.
Yeah.
Agreed.
These local parties
are... If I had a jam just across the street from me or, you know, a 5-minute drive from me, I'd probably head out. But...
Well, and
it's
kind
of hard when you're
outside the city. It is kind of hard. Well, and, you know, again, it's a fickle thing, the music business, right? I mean, you can't compete. I mean, a lot of people can't party until 3 a.m. during the week anymore.
Jobs, man.
Or any day, for that matter. I mean, let's be honest, a lot of us are family men, but I mean, we do try to make it out for jams that we want to or that are important to us. But I think, you know, like, you know, Fabio, LTJ, those kind of things, I'll sell off a kidney to go, you know?
Yeah, you know. You're getting great music on nights like that that have spectacular headliners coming down, right?
Absolutely, and, so. You know, and then when guys like Mike and myself are filling out the local roster, fuck else do you want, right? I mean, let's be honest. No, but I hope that this, A, gives more value to the parties that do happen and that the attendance is better because, you know, not mentioning any parties or anything in particular, but the attendance in this summer has kind of been shit, right?
Yeah, very lackluster attendance.
Lackluster. Fucking beautiful word. That's exactly exactly it.
You know the excuse I've been hearing for that? Was, oh, there's too many festivals. It's summertime.
Yeah, I heard
that.
Wait
till the summertime's over and then the parties will be, you know, the crowds will come in.
Festivals like what? Veld? Digital Dreams? I never went to Veld.
But I heard those are like total douchebag fests. Like, how much of a... But
that's,
you know,
what people want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They want those big parties to go to.
Like, we were just talking how it would have an experience.
Exactly, man. It's the experience, right? Yeah. They want that. And, like, in terms of people not coming out, like you just said, it could be because of the festivals, but there's also so many other parties going on in the summer. Everyone's trying to throw a party. Everyone's trying to, I don't know if they're trying to make a buck, but they're trying to get their name out there. They're trying to brand themselves. They're trying to be the next big promotions company in this city. And it's hard to do that when there's so many of you, just like the DJ gigs, right? Sure. So many DJs in this city, hard to get a gig. So it's a win or lose situation. It's luck out or you don't.
It's difficult.
Yeah.
No, I find that an interesting thought. Now, what about oh fuck, dude, I have a brain like a sieve. Did you just watch it go? Because I felt it just leave my head. The thought, fuck.
Do you want to start over again?
Yeah. Oh, no, you know what? Fuck you guys.
It happened before.
Dude, it happened 3 seconds into recording. Just pull that back. Start again. But my ideal. Is that... No. I remember what I was going to say. I fucking remember what I was going to say. The idea behind... The thinking behind this lackluster appearance is that everybody thinks that, next week there'll be something else. Don't worry. We'll go out next week. We'll go out to the other jam next week. But, I mean, these promoters are outlaying fucking thousands of dollars, potentially.
Yeah.
So, I wonder if people need to get together a little bit. Maybe pool resources or maybe communicate a little better.
Work together?
Does such a thing exist? I don't want to get into the political state of this fucking city. I love this city. I love everybody in it. That's all there is to it, all right? But yeah.
No.
I absolutely think so, man. I think that would be great. Like, I mean, at the very least, go, hey, promoter Z, promoter B is throwing a party on the 5th, so let's not throw a fucking 10,000-person jam on the 4th.
Yeah.
Crickets.
But there are crickets. There are crickets outside.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just my opinion. I'm hoping that we can all get along.
It'll happen.
There's a lot of factors that contribute to people not showing up to parties. You know, a lot of the drum and bass crew is probably over 25, over 30 years old. Like you said, family men now.
I'd say over 30.
And they just don't
Well, this is other responsibilities. This is a key thing: is
no new people coming in.
You need to cater your music to the kids now, the next generation, right?
Yeah, they did that. It's called dubstep, and it sucks a big fucking donkey dick.
That's the thing: you play what they want, and then you hook them with your drum and bass.
Turbo Liquid.
Turbo Liquid. What is up with that?
What the fuck is that?
That's what's hooking the kids.
What the fuck is that? Turbo Liquid. Whoa. I'm out of a loop here.
Smoke's coming out of Robbie's ears. You know, I go on vacation.
Next thing I know, we have a new Miley sub-genre. Cyrus is invading Syria, and then Turbo Liquid. What the
Turbo
fuck?
Turbo Liquid, like all that, all the stuff that's kind of like on Hospital Records. That high performance drum and bass.
It's the trancy drum and bass.
Yeah. Big chords.
Yes. Yeah, they're calling this Turbo Liquid.
I love that stuff.
Okay. But that's
Oh yeah.
Okay, I sense the sarcasm. But yeah, that's what the kids are into nowadays. If you're looking at the drum and bass angle of it, they're into that stuff. They're not into stuff I play. You know.
You know what? Mellow stuff. At the end of the day, it's drum and bass. It's intelligent true. Music. That's.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's
we gotta keep this music going over here. You know, all of us, everybody that's involved or trying to get involved. We gotta start making more of a presence.
Miley Cyrus,
more of a presence felt.
Turbo Liquid.
That really fucked you up, eh? Turbo Liquid.
Fuck, man.
See his face?
Yeah. Well, I was
Turbo Liquid.
That's the second thing that caught me off guard, man. This entire week, like, I came back and this whole shit with Syria and Miley Cyrus. I'm like, we're going into a world war, and then
unreal.
Apparently. We're on the loom of a world war. And then bullshit about this Hannah Montana chick on... I don't even know what she did on TV, but then she has some word that's in the Oxford Dictionary now.
Twerk.
Twerk?
Twerk.
Did you hear about that?
Twerk.
This
twerk
is our fucking, style this of This is dance. Our fucking society, think, man. Yes. And then Turbo Liquid.
Oh, Turbo Liquid. Yeah, but you know what? Turbo Liquid is the least killable in that whole fucking tirade you just had. At least it refers to something I give a fuck about. Yeah. I mean... Now, okay. Show of hands. Twerking is fucking killable. A. B, that it's in the fucking dictionary. So to tie it all together, maybe we should go into a fucking world war. There should be some Darwinism going on here. You know, survival of the fittest, man.
Natural selection.
Natural selection. Absolutely, man. It's fucking... This is a godless fucking scenario here.
Yeah.
It's terrible, man.
I agree.
Yeah. This world's turning into something else, you know? It really is. People just don't give a fuck anymore.
No, they don't give a fuck. But why would you give a fuck? When, I mean, you've got fucking your own country bombing you with gas, and you've got this fucking...
It's not... I'm not even going to get into this. Yeah. I was going to say, it's not your own country.
This is going to go terribly. Okay, so let's wrap
up. Unless you want to go open up a can of worms.
No, I really don't, because I can't speak to it as an authority or even pretending to know.
Yeah, you know, that's true. It's all what I read on the internet.
Yeah, and on the internet.
Let's talk about this DJ competition.
Okay, you know what?
Right.
Let's bring it back to someone.
DJ competition? What DJ competition?
Level one, I believe.
And heavyweight? No.
Heavyweight in Toronto Jungle.
Heavyweight in Toronto Jungle?
Yeah. Toxic and Brown. Okay. Toxic and Brown.
So what's the basic premise of this thing?
So it's a DJ mix,
right?
So from what I remember, I read. I don't even know if I like the page on Facebook, but
yes, it's.
They do a mix, anonymous mix.
Anonymous mix,
yeah.
And that they send polled,
to the yeah. So they send it to the promoter, and then they post it,
and then you like it or you don't like it,
yeah.
And then based on that. You actually perform.
Yes, four, I believe it is four. The top four finalists of the polling, whoever gets the most votes in the poll.
Whoever gets polled the deepest.
Yes.
And then they get a 30-minute set.
Yeah, they get a 30-minute set.
But
so
they
now,
pick the genre.
Yeah, so this is the thing. They pick the genre that one of the four DJs would have to spin. So
if your mix is liquid, you could play Jump Up.
Yes.
Fuck that.
Yeah. You have to be very prepared and very skilled as a DJ, I think, to enter this DJ competition.
I think I'm going to go check that out, man. I think it's going
to
be wicked.
I've listened to the first 7 mixes.
And?
And They're playing for a dance floor, all these guys.
Oh, yeah?
Are they?
They're playing for a dance floor.
They're not
right?
playing.
So that, but that's what they're looking for, right? That's what...
Well, that's the thing. You know, do you want to play to a dance floor or do you want to play, you know, play what your, you know, what your strengths are?
Well, but if you're trying to get a set on a dance floor, odds are you play for the dance floor.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, like, right, like... Like I said before, you know,
you gotta prove yourself.
Like me, myself, I play more deeper liquid style, more mellow. So I don't know if I would be good for this DJ competition.
No, but you know, you can play some liquid tunes that'll, you know, get people going, right?
Definitely. I think I'm a little too mellow for people.
What, you don't have any turbo liquid in your bag?
No, no. Unfortunately, no. No turbo liquid.
So I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, they needed this. It hasn't happened in a while, and it's good because when we were saying before we recorded, there hasn't been too many guys in Toronto as DJs stepping up and really trying to make waves and push some dudes aside.
Yeah, big
and
up
say,
for,
hey, you know what? Time for some new blood in here. And you know, this is good. This is gonna hopefully give more guys some confidence in their own style, in their own skills.
And some attention.
And some attention, and hopefully some more bookings after the contest.
Right. Toxic, James Brown, give yourselves a pat on the back.
Yeah, it was a very
big
good
tings,
idea.
Big tings, big tings!
Oh, that's a great, well needed. That's a great idea. So you didn't enter?
I did a mix, but I'm not going to enter. I'm not going to enter. That's that.
I just got told.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
no,
fair enough.
Yeah, I have my own reasons why I'm not entering.
Fair enough. You're going to go to the jam, though, when they actually play? I think that'd be interesting to see.
I'm curious. I'd like to go out for that.
Yeah. I'd like to go see who the four guys...
Me too.
Who they choose.
And I'd like to see... Because what I'm hoping for is like to see, you know, the fucking ragga guy have to play liquid.
Yeah.
Or what I think that would be really interesting, right? And that'll really prove if it was a
shit,
a sync button mix or not, you know? Cool. That'd be great. And that's where at the Annex, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's at the Rec Room.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody have a date? Fuck.
Nope.
Well,
wait. I think it's 14th?
Is it next week or the week after? Not this weekend. The weekend after or the weekend after that?
Okay, so it's the weekend of the 6th or the weekend of the 14th. Okay. So there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Your one-stop shop for drum and bass information. Fuck.
Yeah, there's one mix I heard. It's phenomenal.
Really?
Man, like I would really want to know who this guy is.
It's probably 6.
Mixing is the tightest I've heard in a long time.
So really?
Yeah. But at the same time, you can do a lot of stuff with a mix. On editing programs, so who knows, right?
Wow. I'd hope not. I hope everybody...
Yeah, exactly. I hope everybody keeps it fair and just hops on the decks and lets loose,
can't you tell?
Right?
Can't you tell if it's a edited mix or...
you can't tell.
No?
No.
No, you can't. The only way you can tell is when you have to play it live and you completely shit the bed.
Yeah, exactly.
So what if, you know, they picked these four guys and they were all these, you know, sync button DJs or... laptop DJs.
Then it's going to sound like shoes in a dryer for fucking 2.5 hours.
Fucking hell.
So I don't know. I think that this is a great idea. We needed something to kind of see who the new level of DJ is. And it's not necessarily to push people aside, but it's to bring in a little bit of variety. I mean, we all know our locals. And we all love them for how many fucking years, right? But let's see some new people. You know, because guys like Marcus are touring now. You know, he doesn't have a lot of time, as far as I can tell. I mean, the guy's playing Outlook this weekend.
Yep. Amazing.
Yep. Holy fuck, man. Croatia. But it looks like such a jam, too, just to be there at. Never mind playing at. I'd probably have a fucking coronary if I ever got invited to play there.
Dude, man, that place is amazing.
It looks beautiful. I watched the trailer.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah, man.
Well, he played Boomtown Fair the week before.
Yeah, he does this every year, apparently.
Yeah,
he does like the Nottingham Festival.
He did Boomtown, and then Nottingham, and then Outlook. And then he's doing a bunch of other jams in between.
Mm-hmm.
Goes to Cool FM. He did his thing on...
Cool London.
Yeah, Cool London.
Yeah.
Yesterday. What was it? Yesterday was Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yeah, he played... he was doing that.
That's fantastic, man. But good for him, man. He's a soldier. He's been in this thing for fucking how many years?
Time, man.
So any kind of you know, worldwide attention is fucking well deserved.
Mm-hmm.
Well deserved.
For him, definitely.
Absolutely, man. Like, I remember being, you know, in my bedroom on a Sunday listening to The Prophecy. Even before I even knew who Marcus was. So, like, as far as a physical person, I always, you know, the mythical Marcus, you know?
Right.
There he is. Good for him. Fucking right. Now I just want to see the same thing for me.
But when's your next gig, John? What's going on with... Aren't you doing something with...
Already Come and Gone.
Oh, that happened.
Yeah, it already happened.
All right.
Yeah, it was the first stop on the Reload LP tour.
Okay. Nice. How did that go down? It was good?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was good. I mean, Frank Gunman got off the airplane, was late, and played an hour and a half after being in a plane for fucking 9 hours.
Oh, Jesus. Poor guy. Away.
Yeah. But I mean, that's the life, right? That's what we all kind of aspire to, right? And yeah, it was fun. He's a great guy. Yeah, absolutely. He's a great guy.
Did he give you any label wisdom? Anything like that?
You know what he did? Because he had a problem. I don't know if I should really talk about it too much, but there was a little bit of a leak for his forthcoming album.
Wow.
Ooh.
So, and he gave it to a few people, only a few close people. So it has to be one of them that leaked it.
Yeah.
So just keep your music close, you know, and that's it.
Yeah, definitely.
And, because, I mean, a lot of people don't realize that these torrents, everybody thinks that it's harmless, right? That nobody gets affected. But, I mean, these things translate into fucking dollars.
Yeah, and if it's your label and this is your full-time gig, you know, that's food off your table, your plate, right? Food out of your mouth.
And he's a young cat, but this is his full-time gig. Like, he does the City Flow parties in, like, Antwerp.
Right.
And he packs that shit out. But, like, he's a full-time DJ, promoter, now label boss. All of this shit translates into money for him. And every torrent, $2 gone. You know what I mean? Every time that shit's downloaded. So he's doing real... Like, he has to go after it legally now. You know? So, I mean, these are, like, big man problems.
But what they said that after, you know, Napster showed up, that music sales increased.
Really?
Yeah. That was a fact that they said when Napster was introduced, when file sharing was introduced with music, that the actual sales of music increased after that. And they didn't really go down. And the record labels that are saying that their sales are going down is because a lot of artists are going independent and doing their own thing now, not signed to the big labels.
Oh, okay. I know Radiohead did that for a long time, too. They were selling stuff right off their own website. And I mean... Maybe in the mainstream music, that's true, you know, but I can't imagine that, because I mean, as much as we all love drum and bass, it's still a niche market. It's not, I mean, it's worldwide, yes, but it's a very small percentage of the global music market.
True.
So that might translate to 10% of his sales, you know, and so whether or not Napster and torrents helped or hindered, I can't see it helping too much in the electronic music scene.
Right.
You know, because again, you're not dealing with physicality anymore. Right? Like, I mean, most, like we were talking about again with Hype and True Players, like he, in 5 years before, he was giving away 2,000 test presses. Now if he sells 300, he's lucky. Right? So we don't have physical things anymore. So if you have an MP3 on your computer of that track, why would you go and get another one?
True.
You know?
True.
And there you go. You just lose fucking, you lost a sale.
Right.
I mean, most people who DJ like waves, but whatever.
I just got told.
Well, I don't know. I can tell the difference between a downloaded tune from, let's say, Napster at the time anyway. So from anywhere that you download music, it's at 128K. It sounds totally different than a wave would sound when we're talking digital music.
Agreed.
I can hear the difference in it.
Sure.
So,
but anybody who plays a 128 fucking MP3 is killable, dude.
Yeah.
Fucking killable.
Yeah.
So I mean, if you're gonna pirate something, fucking pirate a 320.
Yeah. True.
You know, Like, I hope to God that I don't see any fucking of our tracks up there on, the Pirate Bay. But I hope they're at 320 at least.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not fucking 96K bullshit. Come on, people. If you're going to pirate it well, fuck you. You
know? My tunes are shit as they are.
Take them down. I'll
don't
give
even
it to
make
you
them worse than they can be.
Nah. Don't listen to this fucking guy. So, what else is on the table for tonight, boys?
I don't know. Did we check everything
How long
out
we been doing this as of right now?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Could be 10 minutes. Could be 2 hours. This is like a TARDIS fucking time warp in this.
There's no time limit.
No, there's no time limit. Well, the longer it goes...
iTunes maximum 3 hours.
Okay.
I don't think it's been 3 hours.
No, I think... I've only had one beer, so it hasn't been 3 hours.
You're not drunk yet.
That's right. It's not as hot as before, though, at least.
No, yeah. I didn't have to bring my ball rag.
That's good. Mike and I are very happy about that.
I know you are.
I was nervous about that. He messages me and says, so, John, you got the AC on, or do I need to bring a ball rag? And I'm like, well, ball rag.
That's pretty comfortable in here.
Yeah, it was fucking touch and go for a little bit this afternoon, though. It was...
Yeah, I know that too well, man. My apartment's like a oven in there.
You don't have AC either?
No AC.
Oof.
And I bought a shitty, shitty fucking AC unit from XS Cargo. Never buy an AC unit from XS Cargo.
Did you buy the portable one?
Yeah, it was
so what's this, like a little small one that you stick in your window? Or?
No, it's a portable one that you roll on the floor. It's a rectangular, maybe about 2-3 feet high. And it emits more heat, producing the air-conditioned air than the cool air coming out of it. It's ridiculous.
You should have just bought a fan, man.
I have 3 fans. And this AC.
You know, they
unit.
Should just make it mandatory that everyone everyone who moves into a house, rents a house, buys a house, they just have air conditioning. You know, it should just pass a law.
I agree. It's fucking, it's terrible here, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, the humidity is unreal.
I think that should be a human right to have air conditioning. First world problems, huh?
Yeah, I know, right? I know.
Yeah, I'm sweating buckets all day, man. This
me too.
City's a joke. The smog and the fucking heat.
When, my cousin lives in Arizona, or used to live in Arizona, and it's so fucking hot in Arizona, you have 2 AC units, one for the main level, one for the upstairs. That's how fucking hot it gets, desert style. Wow.
That's messed up. Dude, when I was in Calgary, I was up in Jasper. It went down to 1 degree
at night.
At night,
right?
Yeah, it was 1 degree. I woke up in the morning, 6 a.m. It's still 1 degree out there.
Yeah, man.
As soon as the sun came out over the mountains, boom. You know, that's it.
The weather's fucked out there.
Yeah, the frost disappears.
That's insane.
And everyone's in shorts and t-shirts.
Yeah,
and then as soon as the sun starts going down, it gets fucking cold, man. You do not want to be stuck outside.
I was in Lake Louise, and in July, it snowed, number one.
Yeah.
Really?
Snowed. I almost fucking dropped dead. I was so scared. I thought it was the end of the fucking world, man. I'm like, 3 weeks from my birthday, I'm like, the fuck is snowing? The
apocalypse.
Yeah, that's true. But you can also snowboard in July.
Yeah, wicked.
Fucking bizarre.
Who would have thunk it?
Who would have thunk it?
Yeah. But yeah, it's messed up. You're out in the mountains. You know, I went on to this glacier trip. So they hop, they put you on one of these giant amphibious buses. Amphibious? No, it wasn't an amphibious bus. It was just a giant bus with these massive fucking tires and take you onto the glacier.
Oh, okay.
It was fucking snowing there.
Wow. Wow.
I was there with shorts, t-shirt, and a hoodie.
Wow.
And like, I did not dress appropriately.
It's hard to figure out the weather there because as soon as that sun goes down, it drops fucking 30 degrees.
Yeah.
It's retarded, man.
I'll tell you one thing. These Japanese people know how to dress for the occasion.
Do they?
You go to Jasper, Banff, Alberta, it's all Japanese people. They love the Rockies. For some reason, it's like, oh, Rockies, I have to go.
See what I mean? Fucking racism.
How is that racism? I didn't say hate them. Japanese people are nice.
Okay.
Yeah, they're good people. Yeah.
Yep. Like, were they tourists?
Yeah, they're all tourists. They're all tourists.
Well, because when I lived out there, my boss owned the restaurant, Japanese. all the people that own businesses in Lake Louise, Japanese. And they say it's because, what was it, World War II or World War I, when they went to the internment camps, they took all of the Asian people from all of Canada and put them on the West Coast.
Oh, yeah?
And,
oh, I didn't know that.
And when they stopped the internment camps, they just stayed.
Huh.
Right?
I'd stay, too. It's beautiful.
It is gorgeous out there.
It's gorgeous.
Never been out there.
You've got to go, man.
You have to go.
Never been out west.
Yeah. You have to go. Play 403 DNB.
Hey, 403 DNB, what's up?
Logo. Logo. Hook up my man, Mike. Yeah, I want to go play out there, man.
I wish I was there for the party. I honestly wish. Logo, man, I'm sorry. Sorry I missed it.
Well, how are the parties out there?
Have you guys crazy. If you see the pictures, the pictures, they're always packed. I don't think they've ever had a jam this past year or 2 years where no one showed up or they only had 20 people. I think they've always had, you know, an amazing crowd.
And it's even for their locals, like the 403 DMB guys.
Yes,
throw
yes.
A night.
You know, if anything I see online, considering something, anything out west, you know, so they embrace.
And it's weird.
Embrace their locals so much more.
I was at a mall there, and I hear this bass coming out. And the Raga's coming, this fucking M3, BMW M3 just rips the fucking parking lot of a mall, right? And it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't think people work there for some reason. They're all rich. Or it's all oil money.
The cost of living is very high out there.
Yeah, but when was the last time you heard a car blasting jungle or any kind of drum and bass?
Rare.
Other than yours, your car, your own car, or your friend's car.
Yeah, it's true.
I think I've heard it twice.
That's
in this
the
city
first time
in all these years.
I can say in about twice. 10 years, maybe
someone
five,
else playing
five, 10
drum
years.
And bass.
It's nuts, right? So, and then plus, I'm wearing my Jungles T-shirt because that's all I wear when I'm on vacation. And I actually had a couple guys come up to me. He's like, "Oh, that's a wicked T-shirt. Where'd you get it from?"
I's made it.
You're making new fine. Shirts, right?
Yeah, I got some new shirts coming out.
Yeah.
Yep.
New prints.
New prints. Nice. I got a collab coming up with, I guess I can say it, with Dub Plate Special.
Booyah.
Nice.
Yeah. So we have a few designs coming up next month. This
Sunil,
next
right?
Month.
Yeah.
Sunil?
Yeah.
Yep. And got a couple of my own that I'm still kind of working on, but I think I'm going to release it next week.
That one?
This one?
No, that one.
Oh, no, I can't.
Fuck.
I know, I'm the only one who has that one.
Fuck!
Yeah. But, yeah. Next week. On, man. Next week. But, yeah, Calgary, man. That's the place to be if you want to be in the jungle scene.
Well, in Alberta itself.
I'm guessing. I don't know. I'm no expert. But from what I saw, from what I gather, and from what I see on the social media feeds, it's happening in place, happening in town.
Well, you've got...
And if you're unemployed, you should go to Calgary. You make 15 grand a week.
Yeah. Some good jobs out there.
Or yeah, not Calgary, but what's that? Fort McMurray.
Yeah, everybody and their mother goes out to Fort McMurray.
So my brother-in-law was telling me, guy he just hired was in Fort McMurray making $15,000 a week doing running IT lines, like fiber optics and IT lines, right. Just splicing fiber optic lines. 15 grand a week, right? And he had to leave because he was working 60 hours a week. There's nothing to do, apparently.
There's fuck all to do, man.
Except for drink, work, and drugs and whatever, right?
Pretty much the standard everywhere, but yeah.
The standard. And then the guy's wife is like, well, I want a family. You got to get the fuck out. So he comes down to Calgary, takes a little pay cut, like literally, like probably maybe a 20% pay cut from 15 grand a week. That's still... And he's doing the same thing in Calgary.
That's some great money, man.
Yeah.
15 G's a week.
You could retire, man, after a couple of years.
$15,000.
$15,000 a week.
Oh, I thought you said $1,500.
No, man. $15,000.
Wow. Holy shit.
It's all oil money. These fucking oil companies, they'll pay. They'll just fucking pay. It's like, get my shit done. I'm losing millions of dollars a day because my fiber optic lines are down.
Right, because they have no infrastructure up there, right?
Yeah,
it's all infrastructure work that they're doing.
Yep.
That's ground floor business, man. Yeah. Fuck yeah. But what a fucking wife, though. I'd divorce her, man. I want to start a family. $15,000 a week.
Yeah, but they were probably up there for a couple of years, and she's like, that's it. Fuck it. We have enough money. Buy a house. Cash. You know, we've got some nice cars.
That's true.
You know,
that's
we're comfortable now. We have enough money. We have our investments. Shit, I should be doing that, man.
I can think of two other guys in this room that should be fucking doing that too.
Taking notes, man. Taking notes.
But you know. Fuck. And I noticed the people there are a lot nicer too.
Than where? Than Toronto.
Than Toronto. There's not as much road rage. Like, I'm a douche when it comes to driving. Like, I got the worst road rage.
You know, hopefully we never meet.
Fuck. Did I tell you the time I pulled the kid out of his car? He still had his seatbelt on? Oh, you can't. Well, let's not get into that. There might be some legal issues.
Yeah, it's...
But, the people there are nice. They cut you off. They say sorry.
Wow.
I never said sorry once, and I'm like, oh, shit. I'm a real douchebag.
So now you're the asshole.
Yeah, I'm the asshole.
Somebody's going to pull you out of your car.
Yeah, man. Fucking cowboys, man. They're scary.
Yeehaw. Yeah. So overall, you had a good time?
I had a fantastic time, man.
That's good. Yeah, I like it. I like it out there. At some point, I'd like to go back and actually do it up properly.
Yeah.
So.
You know what? I wish we went out for that that 403 barbecue, the 3-day.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when they had their fucking flood.
Do you see that shit?
Dude, I saw the aftermath. Like, I just thought, oh, yeah, your fucking river overflow. Big fucking deal, right? I'm like, boo-hoo.
Their Jumbotron was fucking in water, dude.
They have this massive fucking river that runs through their city. Like, huge. And it just flooded everything.
Yeah. What's the name of their Coliseum?
Saddledome?
I think so. Yeah, it was 10 rows up, the fucking water. Yeah,
it's fucking nuts.
That's the picture I've seen. Yeah. That's crazy.
Jesus Christ. That was a big fucking river. And you drive through there, and my brother-in-law's telling me, he's like, yeah, this all used to have a beach, and now it's all boulders. It's like, just huge boulders on the side of the rivers, just up and down. I'm like, fuck, that was a huge fucking...
Wow.
Have they recouped from it?
$5 billion. From where you went? $5 billion to...
In damage.
In damage.
Wowee.
Oh, that's their bill.
Wow.
That's their bill. But yeah, they recoup. Like, if you've never been to Calgary and you drive by, I'm like...
Yeah, you wouldn't notice.
You wouldn't notice, right? But when someone tells you, like, yeah, this used to be all nice beaches, and then all of a sudden there's just a beach of giant boulders.
Wow.
And driftwood.
Well, Prof was saying that the barbecue went off, though.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You know, people are just like going... Fucking flood, who cares? We'll drive around it.
Mm-hmm.
People just drove around it, and yeah.
Yeah, it's the first ever 3-day drum and bass barbecue.
In
Alberta. Yeah, it was at a casino. It was like, I drove by a couple times. And I'm like, could have been there.
How'd the venue look? Look good?
It's nice.
A casino, I guess.
It's a casino. It's a casino off the side of the highway, in front of the mountains.
Wow, I'm looking forward to the next one.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to make a move and go out there.
Yeah.
Give it a try. And those guys are always so fucking nice anyway, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just to hang out with them and, you know.
Make sure you rent a car.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah, their public transit's shit, man.
No.
Worse than here?
Dude, yeah.
Yeah.
You know the distance it takes to the subway from Yonge and Finch to Yonge and Bloor? It takes maybe 20 minutes on the subway. It takes them maybe an hour and a half.
Whoa. Why?
Because the fucking train system sucks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well... Pros and cons of living in Calgary, I guess.
In Calgary, but whatever. They got a good drum and bass scene there.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
everything else can fuck the off. That's it. Well, you have anything else to talk about, Mikey? Or? Yeah? Okay. So why don't we take a break and then we'll come back and do an extra special mix for us?
Yeah, right on.
Cool?
Yeah, I'm going to do a little mix, half hour, and maybe... 3 of my own tunes will be in this mix.
Perfect. Do you have anything you want to promote? Your SoundCloud? Any of that stuff?
Yeah, you guys, if you want to check out my stuff, you can go on SoundCloud. My URL is... the URL is www.soundcloud.com/MDICOSMO79. And that should take you to 6IXDNB, 6DNB. And if you want to hit me up on Facebook, I'm under 6 as a fan page, or you could just hit me up on my personal page, which is MikeDC.
Cool.
And we'll, that's we'll spam the crap out of it anyways.
Yeah, absolutely.
In case you guys didn't get it.
And just for the record, that's the number 6IX.
Yeah, sorry, number 6IX. But it's pronounced as 6.
Six.
For anyone that
So it's not 6X?
Has a problem. No, not 6IX, not 6.9.
That's what I thought the first time. Yeah. I was like, wow, this guy's kind of pervy.
It's a confusing name, and a couple months ago,
it works.
We went through this on Facebook. There was a little discussion about my name.
Oh, yeah?
People had no clue what it was, so I have to explain it all the time. It's kind of a downer, but whatever. That's who I am. Six.
Six.
Oh, I'm going to spring something on you. We're going to have a contest right now.
Okay, lay it on me.
So, all of you guys who are listening there, who's listening to our podcast, I'm going to give you an opportunity to win a DMB Culture t-shirt. If you can tweet us, you got to tweet us, direct message us.
No, they can't direct message because you have to be following.
Yeah. Okay, so you got to tweet us. You got to follow us on Twitter at Base Cult Podcast. And you have to tell us the name of Mike's tune that was played by Bailey.
The first one.
The first one.
Oh, shit.
And what should we do? The first person to message us or the 10th? How do we do this?
I'm not going to fucking tell you. Just.
All right. The first person to send us a follow and send us the correct answer.
Yeah.
We'll get a free t-shirt.
Yeah. Sounds great. That's a great idea. Yeah.
And we'll mail it off to you.
Which t-shirt?
We'll give you a Junglist t-shirt.
With the Junglist emblazoned on your chest?
Junglist on your chest. That's
nice.
Right.
Okay.
So the first person to do this?
Sure, yeah.
I don't think you should do that, right?
No?
Because once the first person...
I'm new at this.
Once the first contest, person follows and gets it right, you're not going to get more followers. Right? You know what I mean?
The 42nd. Yeah. The 42nd person.
I say do a random selection.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do a random selection. And from now until the next podcast releases.
Yes. Okay. And we'll announce it on the next podcast.
We'll announce it on the next podcast.
So,
and if you have, the person who wins, if you got any, like, URLs or whatever you want us to, we'll big you up.
Yeah, we'll put all those through.
Yep.
How about you? You got anything you want to push?
DMBculture.ca. There's a new website coming someday soon. got a collab going with Dub Plate Special.
I'm looking forward to those.
And what else? Interface Audio.
Yep, I have the website done. I have the web hosting done. I'm just switching registrars.
Right.
I don't know what the fuck that means, but they say I have to do it.
Yeah.
So it's going to be 7 days, and it's going to be a soft launch of the website. And then I am thinking 6 weeks till the first release. So.
Oh, 6 weeks. Oh, do I have... You got artwork for that?
I do have artwork for the first
one. Okay, good. Did I do that yet or no?
And I do have to shout out Grim. Grim of Hybrid Minds. You're the man. He's been doing the mastering for Interface Audio. I'm very happy. They sound awesome. So big up Grim. Big up Grim. Nice. I got to tell you. Yeah, thanks very much, man. They sound wicked. And check your inbox. You can have a fuckload more.
So make sure you follow us on Twitter at Base Cult Podcast and find us on iTunes. Subscribe, leave a comment, please.
Yeah,
leave a comment.
Yeah, leave a comment.
The more comments you leave, good or bad, it don't matter. Just leave a comment just so our rankings get up.
Yeah, that's a great idea. We were the first podcast, we were in the new and noteworthy section. So let's keep the ranking up high, yeah?
Yeah, and we'll keep producing quality.
Yeah, quality.
Quality podcasts here. DMBculture.ca, Interface Audio, coming soon.
And at Inta... INTAFACE _ audio AUDIO. And I tweet a bit. I'd like some more followers, so make that happen.
Yeah.
And so when we come back, we'll have a nice mix from Mike 6. And
Six IX.
6IX.
No, 6.
6. 6IX. But that's when we have to look for it. Anyways, Mikey, thanks for coming. And,
thanks for having me, guys.
We look forward to your mix. So, we're going to take a break, have a whiz, and we'll be right back.
Boom!
Boom!
Booyah!
your body, everybody wants your body, so let's check.
So let's check.